supposed to be doing it tonight.
Somebody's there.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nancy.
Now, this is Anita.
Yeah.
Nancy yet.
Well, you haven't heard Nancy yet?
No, but then I just came on, too, just before you did, so.
Place an appointment jar up to it. I can't get up for the afternoon of the wheatgrass.
Night, and I don't, you know, you don't feel as refreshed in the morning when it's hot at night.
At
least I don't.
She probably didn't hear that.
Nancy has arrived.
Oh. Boy, that was a soft voice, Nancy.
Yeah, how are you, Jenny?
Good, I'm sitting there. Charles over here spinning my wheatgrass by hand.
Oh, my.
The machine hasn't gotten back yet. She burned
good morning,
her body.
Man.
Good morning, Anita. How are you? All right. Anybody else on the call?
I think just us three. And Char, right. She's over.
I was just reading an article from Sunday's paper about secret recipes, good way for companies to cook up loyalty. Marketing ploy can help drive billions of dollars in sales. And one of the things they were talking about is how, you know, these big companies covet their secret recipes, and they mentioned Coca-Cola as well as Hostess with their Twinkies. And I don't know if you remember, but several months ago, Twinkies, Hostess went bankrupt, and it's a local Cleveland company, but somebody else bought it. And they said this, and I'm going to quote this, Twinkies today are, quote, remarkably close to the original recipe, end of quote, noting the first three ingredients are still enriched flour, water, and sugar. Yet a box of Twinkies now lists more than 25 ingredients and has a shelf life of 45 days, almost 3 weeks longer than the 26 days from just a year ago. That suggests the ingredients have been tinkered with, to say the least, since they were created in 1930. 25 ingredients with a shelf life of 45 days.
Try several years, probably.
Probably. When they first came out, they were largely made from ingredients, it goes on to say, this person traced the roots of the cake's many modern-day industrial ingredients. Interesting. Then they go on to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Interesting article. Anyway. How was everybody's Labor Day?
Linda Morse.
Has arrived.
Anybody have anything to report?
Hey, my husband just said he labored.
Oh, he did? What was he doing?
Trimming branches off of trees and getting them down. So.
Don't tell me he was on a ladder, please.
All kinds of stuff.
Oh, that never happens around here.
Not at all.
I mean, how tall a ladder are you talking about? 20 feet or 40 feet or what?
I recently heard something on TV about, especially men on ladders, they call it the stairway to heaven. Because at what percentage they said of men go up beyond where they should and end up falling. And it can be fatal. So, just a word to the wise.
I went out, stood by the ladder part of the time, but I didn't all the time, so.
And what was it that you were going to do if he started to fall?
I just held the ladder to steady it, so.
I see. I don't know. Anybody have any questions, thoughts, or concerns?
Has arrived.
Anyone else? Get some background noise if somebody could use. That would be helpful.
That's me. I thought I had...
Oh, that's you. Okay. Thank you for muting.
And then it sounds like she was grinding her wheatgrass.
Oh. longer get this magazine, but I found some older ones, the On Health Consumers Report. And, I mean, the articles are just as good today as they were then, whenever this was, 2010. talking about an exercise plan and choosing an exercise plan that's just right for you. And they give a fitness checkup in a box here. It's kind of a little worksheet that you should help, that will help you determine how many minutes you need to do, how many times a week. Anybody interested in hearing how you should come to that conclusion?
Sure.
Okay. You take your, for moderate intensity aerobic exercise like walking, doubles, tennis, or gardening, you put in your weekly minutes. Add to that for high intensity like jogging, singles, tennis, or aerobic dance, and then they have a box, your weekly minutes times two, and they say you multiply by two because a minute of vigorous exercise is roughly equal to 2 minutes of moderate exercise. I don't know that I've ever seen that put like that before, and that gives you a number. And then for the total, add your moderate and high intensity minutes, and you have a box for that. And then they have your goal for overall health equals 150 minutes a week. Goal for controlling weight is 300 minutes a week. Interesting. And then they have strength exercise underneath this as a separate area. Upper body sessions you now do each week in a box, and lower body sessions you now do each week. And the goal for everyone is two sessions of strength training a week. So, hope that helps somebody. But in the exercise article, they say make your first move. About one of four adults is almost completely sedentary. That's scary. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just say they've been running an ad here that says, what is it, a body in motion stays in motion, a body at rest stays at rest. And so the premise of it is that if you don't get up and do something, why, you just don't get up and do something. In other words, you're more apt to stay sedentary if you don't exercise. So.
Yeah. It's easy to get into the habit of not doing anything, I guess. And that's how we end up with all these frail elderly people. I don't know. I said for many years you gotta keep the bag moving. Call it what you want, but you gotta keep it moving. As they age, their activity level shrinks to fit their limitations, such as avoiding walking up a hill to see a sight while on vacation. If that's you, don't despair. It's never too late to start exercising if you take precautions. American Heart recommends first time exercises get medical clearance, of course, if they're men over 45 or women over 55, but only if they are about to embark on a vigorous program. if you have chronic conditions, of course, you should check with your doctor first, like diabetes, symptoms of chest pain, dizziness, or shortness of breath. If you've been inactive for years, you should start gradually with easy activities, nothing that we don't know, obviously. Once you've started, where you go next is up to you. Doing something is better than doing nothing, and doing more is better than doing less. The most popular option is walking, but if you find that boring, try biking or joining a gym. Water aerobics, they talk about taking a class in that. Invest an hour or two with a personal trainer who can assess your needs and help devise a program that meets them. Be sure that the trainer is certified by a reputable organization. The key is to experiment until you find a routine that you can stick with. Ideally, it should include 3 to 5 sessions a week of moderate or high-intensity aerobic activity and at least 2 sessions of resistance exercise that works your upper and lower body. But be realistic. Your goals should be health, longevity, reducing stress, and feeling more vital. We all want to be attractive, but we don't need to burn. We don't need buns of steel at age 50 or 60 or 70 or 80, I say. Kick it up a notch. People who are already physically active can gain additional and more extensive health and fitness benefits by becoming even more active. One tried and true method is to give your exercise routine a boost. Method to give it a boost is interval training, adding spurts of higher intensity to exercises you're already doing. It could be switching from walking on a level surface to walking up a hill. Or on a bicycle, you can vary either how fast or how hard you pedal. One advantage of interval training is that you can squeeze more exercise into the same amount of time. A lot of the times, the programs, you know, with the docs and Oz, when they have exercise people on, it seems like that's the big thing now, is these interval things, and they're really squeezing it into 5, 10, 15-minute sessions instead of what we've been told is 30 to 45 minutes a day. And they're much more high intensity and things that I can no longer do. So, you know, I guess you do what you can do at where you are. Another approach is to add a new activity to your workout. Join a yoga or dance class or try a rowing machine. Cross-training has advantages of working different muscle groups, which adds to your overall fitness, avoids overtaxing your muscles. It allows you to exercise harder without exhausting yourself. Then they have a little picture with a woman sitting on one of the exercise balls doing weights with her arms. And it says at age 50, strength training is at least as important as aerobic exercise. They say, think about it, especially if you're over 50. Resistance training deserves muscle mass and strength. Beyond age 50, it becomes co-equal with aerobic exercise. You don't want to be 70 years old and able to walk for, you don't want to be 70 years old and able to walk for hours but not able to pick up your grandkids. The only way to do this is to pick up the weight. Interesting. Get back in shape. Even if your days of fast-paced singles tennis or rugby are fond memory, resuming exercise can restore your fitness. You can get back into top shape even after years of inactivity. They did a study, this was in 1966, that involved putting 5 men, all age 20, to bed for 3 weeks and measuring their physical deterioration. The researchers then assigned the men to 8 weeks of training to see if they could bring them back to their baseline fitness levels. It could, and then some. 30 years later, researchers tracked down the 5, now paunchy and mostly out of shape, and put them in a 6-month training program. By the end of it, they were aerobically fit and had, as they had been at age 20, though still much heavier. But if you push too hard, too fast, you could hurt yourself. That's the reason that they gave the men 6 months to shape up at age 50 instead of the eight weeks that they had when they were 20. In your 50s and up, there's less room for error than when you're in your 20s. Then, if you started out too hard, you might be sore the next day. Now, you could tear cartilage. To protect yourself, don't go back to the routines of your youth. You may only be able to do 2 vigorous workouts a week instead of 3 or 4 that you did when you were younger. It also pays to adjust your goals and expectations. Lose weight. Don't expect to get there by exercise alone. Studies found that it rarely works unless you're a long-distance runner or a mountain climber. The caloric expenditure is not favorable. You guys heard about that 62-year-old woman who swam from Cuba to Florida? And she made it. This was her 5th attempt. You guys hear about that?
I did.
What an accomplishment. I said to my daughter, I don't know how they fed her. She was not allowed to stop swimming, and no one was allowed to touch her. How did she swim and eat at the same time? It's just an amazing feat, I think it was.
It sounded like she swam in place next to the boat, but they said that she wasn't allowed to touch the boat, so.
I'm sure, yeah. How did she go to the bathroom? I just thought of that one. Anyway, don't want to go there. Men in particular tend to think they can just go to the gym and walk off all their weight, although some women do too. Those middle-aged Dallas guys, for instance, lost an average of less than 9 pounds after 6 months of intensive training. But if you manage to diet off the pounds, regular exercise is indispensable for keeping them off. If you look at the two good solid databases of people who have lost weight and kept it off, they all exercise, most of them, every day. of the 15% of the respondents that they checked with 21,000 people who had lost significant weight and kept it off, 41% said they did vigorous exercise at least 4 days a week. 32% said they strength trained at least once a week. Failed dieters, sadly 40% of those who answered the poll, exercise significantly less often. If you want to use exercise for controlling your weight as opposed to general fitness, you'll either have to budget more time or increase the intensity of your activity. to keep pounds from creeping back on, people who have managed to lose weight need to do the equivalent of about an hour of brisk walking 5 to 7 days a week. So, you know, we've always said they work hand in hand. I don't believe that you can exercise weight off. You need to watch what you're eating and reduce the calories and eat healthy. So that's my thing. Anybody have any comments on what I just said?
Well, that about putting it back on if you don't keep exercising, that's...
Right, but also you have to think about eating habits.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say that's like dieting. You can't go back to your old eating habits and you can't go back to being sedentary, so...
True. They work together. And there's just so many more advantages to moving the body than just keeping the weight off.
Yeah.
Our bodies were meant to move. Anybody else? Misleading food labels. When it comes to food packaging, the small print on the side or the back, the ingredient list and nutritional facts, is the high standard of accuracy. We've talked about this one, too. they just released, in October of 10, guidelines to ensure that the big print on the front of the package is accurate, too. I haven't noticed that that's changed. Has anybody?
No, I haven't either.
This was from 2010 of January. Interesting. Growing number of symbols and systems that promise consumers that a product is, quote, healthy idea or, quote, smart choice or good for their heart. When this type of information is present, people are less likely to examine the nutritional details on the back of the package. It wants front of the box labels and symbols to be accurate and consistent with the nutrition facts box. Those labels are especially important to consumers with chronic diseases and those trying to lose weight. But the bottom line is, this is what I'm saying, how many people really read that except for us? Other studies have found that attention to label information was associated with a decreased intake of fat and cholesterol. Until the FDA gets the food manufacturers to clean up their package claims, we need to focus on the nutrition facts box. The ingredients list can also be helpful if you keep in mind that items are listed in quantity order. Comments? I cut a yellow pepper a couple of days ago in half. I was going to cut it into my salad, and immediately I started choking just from cutting this pepper. And yet I did taste it, and it wasn't really real hot. What's the deal with that, you guys farmers?
I don't know, unless it has some, you know, some chemicals in it that, I mean, some hotter peppers aren't as, you know, aren't as hot when you taste them either, but the smell or what, or something gets to you, so.
I mean, I immediately, I don't know what, I thought maybe it was the seeds. I don't know.
Was it organic or not organic?
Yeah, I'm not sure whether it was one that we, you know, one of the organic ones that we had planted, or one that Mindy had brought, but they got, you know, from the farm stuff. And he's getting mostly organic stuff. They may not be certified, but he's going for local and certainly, so I don't know the answer to that, Char.
I think they're on the worst, they're in the 10 worst, aren't they, for our pesticides?
Peppers, yes.
Okay, that's what I was remembering. So, I don't know. I would think that
it may not.
I was going to say, it may not be external chemicals. It may be just something in the pepper itself.
Uh-huh.
And the seeds are always hotter than the rest of it. Seeds in
right.
the membrane.
Yes.
So this wasn't a sweet pepper. I mean, like a red pepper, sweet red pepper.
It was yellow.
Yeah,
and
but
normally
big ones are still sweet peppers.
Well, it tasted okay. And I tasted a little piece of it, and I didn't have to spit it out. So it was.
But what I'm saying is, it's a big pepper, not one of those little skinny ones, or.
It is a thinner one. It's not a round one like the bell peppers.
Oh, okay.
Banana.
All right.
Banana pepper, maybe.
Yeah, more like that.
Longer, pointy one.
Right, and we don't normally. I don't buy those in the store generally. And Marty has always brought the bell peppers to plant, you know, when we've chosen. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Some of those are hotter and some are milder, and you never know.
I was just surprised that I was choking, but that I tasted okay. So I was thinking maybe it was the seed.
Yeah, it has a higher capsaicin level, I think, than some of the milder ones.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because here they have hot stuff for nerve pain. Capsaicin, what gives hot peppers their zing, might help relieve pain from nerve damage due to diabetes, surgery, or other causes. It also can irritate the skin. to lose weight, lose the TV. People who lost at least 10% of their weight and kept it off for 5 years or more have fewer TVs in their homes than overweight people. That's interesting. People with fewer TVs also had more exercise equipment in their homes and ate less junk food. Shingles and strokes. A case of shingles, a disease triggered by the same virus that causes chickenpox, can multiply the risk of stroke. Patients who had a shingles rash around the eyes or on the forehead were more than 4 times as likely to suffer a stroke within a year compared with people who never had the disease. Interesting. Anybody do yoga? We don't talk about that much on these calls.
No.
No? They show a woman in the, and I forget what this position is, where she's standing on her toes and if you look at her, she's making a triangle with the floor being the base and her head is down. She's bending at the waist of it. Anyway. A program of simplified yoga poses might help correct age-related dowager's hump, a curvature of the spine. Half the group practiced the moves 3 days a week for 6 months, while the others attended lectures on better health. People in the yoga group ended up with slightly straighter spines and reported less upper back pain and better sleep. They could also get up quicker from a chair. People in the yoga study bent forward with their back flat, arms extended, and hands on the back or seat of a chair. Interesting.
Hmm.
Bugs in your wristwatch. Hospital workers who wear wristwatches on their job tend to have more bacteria on their hands and wrists. That's interesting. They found that doctors who wear bracelets or neckties, I heard about the neckties, also tend to have more bacteria, increasing the risk of spreading the infection.
I wonder why.
I've heard of the ties because you're going from room to room and, you know, I never thought of the bracelet or wristwatch. But, you know, if you think about it, you're going from room to room where bacteria don't just stay on what they're on, I would suspect.
Yeah.
They're taking your pulse, and if they're doing it with the hand that the watch is on, I suspect. I don't know.
Always, you scrub hands and stuff, you were supposed to make sure you cleaned under your rings and everything, because they could harbor it too, so.
Sure. And, you know, when I was in there the second time especially, I think every patient room now, inside the room, I think the first time I was in, they had it outside the room. But inside the room, you have a thing where they can sanitize their hands when they walk in. They don't have to, you know, they don't have to use a sink, although there is a sink there also. Does a virus cause chronic fatigue syndrome? Evidence of a virus called XMRV in the blood of 67% of the patients who had the condition, compared with just 4% of other people. They've identified this virus. Researchers hope the study will lead to new tests for the disease and possibly even treatment. Interesting. Even though we're not there yet, the winter will be here sooner rather than we like it, I'm sure. Warming up the car exposes you and anyone else nearby to a continuous stream of toxic exhaust, plus it wastes gas. Instead, let your car warm up while you drive and turn off the engine if you plan to sit for more than 30 seconds. Dry winter hands. Use warm, not hot water to wash hands. Pat them dry instead of rubbing them with a towel. Apply hand lotion regularly, especially after washing. They have a list of different exercises to do for different chronic conditions. Anybody interested in arthritis, diabetes, heart disease, or osteoporosis?
Well, you could do the osteo ones, although mine has improved, they said, from what it was a couple of years ago. So that's
okay.
Good.
What can help is lower impact weight-bearing exercises like walking and strength training, Tai Chi to improve your balance and help prevent falls, exercises to avoid bending or twisting at the waist during such activities as sit-ups or using a rowing machine because that might cause fractures of the spine. And the second one is high-impact activities such as which can cause stress fractures. Precautions, avoid exercises that carry a risk of falling. Work with your doctor to learn which types of strengthening exercises are safe for you.
Thanks.
I still think the jarring was one of the ones that was my best for recovery.
Really?
And I still go up the steps and down the steps with a pretty heavy foot.
Well, and I still wear my old white cardio strides all the time.
I think they do more than we realize.
Yeah. Dr. Haliak had said I had walked into the meeting in Kansas City where he was doing the bone density testing, and he said that those were made for Japanese women with osteoporosis. So,
wow. Interesting.
Wow.
Here's an article, 6 things to do in a doctor's waiting room. Make a list of your top health concerns. Write your questions down. Make a list of all your meds. Ask the office to check on your test results. Confirm that the office has the correct insurance information and read something besides the magazine. I'm going to tell you why. And I think, I don't know if this tells you the answer that I'm looking for or not. Waiting rooms often have recents of articles we found particularly helpful. Much of the material in our office provides the added advantage of having been vetted. Just make sure you check the source, pharmaceutical companies, sales reps like to leave promotional material and don't always ask for permission. I thought they were going to say because, especially in an internal medicine office rather than a specialist, because people who are in there are there because they're sick and they're touching. That's what I thought they were going to say. Is a reason not to do it.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I thought the reason, so. yeah, but they've always got that MedMD or something like that in there, which you know is all promotion, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Somebody 84 lost several inches from her 5'11" frame. Is this normal? Anything I can do? Yes, and probably. As you age, the spongy disc between the vertebrae and the spine dry out and thin. If you have a bone-weakening condition, such as osteoporosis, may also be experiencing spinal compression fractures, tiny, often imperceptible breaks in the vertebrae. Both can shorten the spine and thus your height. By age 80, women lose an average of about 3 inches. Men lose 2. Can help minimize the loss by getting adequate calcium and vitamin D and taking a bone-building drug such as, and you know those. Regular strength training and weight-bearing exercises such as walking can help maintain height by strengthening the skeleton. in severe cases where vertebrae fractures have led to chronic back pain, stooped posture, or both, surgery may partly restore lost height and relieve discomfort. Here's one for muscle cramps. Heard that drinking tonic water can get rid of leg cramps. Is that true? Probably not, they say. Better approach is to get, if you get a leg cramp, is to stretch and massage the affected muscle till the cramp goes away, usually within a few minutes, and use your mag voice. That's it. Anybody have any final questions or thoughts before we move on with the day?
Oh, good information again this morning.
Yeah, I like this magazine. I just, I get reluctant to renew it sometimes. So have a great day, everybody. Thanks for your participation and for the support of the call. And we'll be back tomorrow. It's already Tuesday.
Thank you, Nan. Yeah,
bye.
Well, go
ahead. Bye, guys.
To learn more about Nican, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.